Sevier School District Board of Education. We're in the Sevier School District office, and today is Wednesday, August 6th, 2025, and time is 4 o'clock. Those in attendance are board members Rick Orr, Jill Porter. Vice President Ryan Savage is asked to be excused. Jack Hansen is here, and myself, John Foster. From the administration, we have Superintendent Dr. Kate Douglas, Assistant Superintendent Mike Willis, Business Administrator Chad Lloyd, and Executive Secretary Krista Nielsen. Jack Hansen has agreed to do the preliminary.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our heads before Thee this afternoon with gratitude in our hearts, Father in Heaven, for the many blessings we enjoy each day. We're grateful, Father, for the opportunity to meet here and discuss the needs of our district, and we ask that Thy guidance and direction will be with us as we might have clear minds and understand those things that need to transpire here today to make a better workplace for our employees, our students, and all those involved. We're grateful, Father, for the blessing of this beautiful valley, and we ask that Thy loving hand will be with everybody involved in these fires. We keep the firemen safe. Bless those that need to take care of things, that they can do so in a pleasing manner. We pray for our armed forces wherever they might be, and ask Thee to guide and direct them. Be their leadership, that they might have clear minds and be able to make those decisions needed to guide and direct us. We're grateful for all that Thou gives me. Blessed be God, we pray for in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, it's good to see everybody back after a fun summer. We're ready to kick off another great year. School starts in about a week. Things are starting to move already. Well, we'll begin with the consent agenda. Any comments or questions or remarks about that item? Okay. Since there are no comments, I would entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I'd make that motion, Mr. President.
I'll second.
Thank you. The motion has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number two, discussion items from the board. I see our agenda is discussion about the Partners in Learning Certificate. Who would like to talk about that? Who knows enough about it?
No, I attached the letter.
Oh, so this, I'm sorry. I did have one other item I want to mention after this for the board. But so we just wanted to share this. This was actually a real honor. I think I let the board know about this last month when we were awarded this honor. But the Sutherland Institute is a research group up north. And they do a lot of research on public education. They do a lot of critical research, which can be a bit frustrating at times, but that makes this certificate even more valuable to me. Is there were several districts that achieved the full certificate, but there were also several that didn't. And so it just shows that they analyzed and researched our online, a lot of our website and our curriculum to verify that we were totally transparent with parents on our curriculum, that our parents know exactly what we are doing, what we are teaching. So it's a real honor to get it. We finally received the certificate. We had received word of this. That's when I think I made the board aware. maybe 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And there's been a news article or two explaining it, but it's something really to celebrate. It's a real honor to be on that list at the top of that, in the top group of that list of transparency and convenient access for parents that we value parents and they're truly partners. We're just here to support them. And it's a good thing. I did have one other thing I wanted to mention that I should have put on under the items from the board. And it's just a reminder of the legislative meeting that we have this Tuesday, the 12th. We've RSVP'd that the entire board, as well as Mr. Willis, myself, Mr. Lloyd, so all 8 of us are planning to attend. We're going to leave the district office at 4:45 if you'd like to ride together. It will be held at the new Wayne High School in Wayne County, which is kind of fun. It's a building I'm very proud of. Chad and I worked really hard to help support them in gaining funds for Wayne County High School. And it'll be fun to meet there and to collaborate and communicate with legislators. I think we can all fit in one excursion. We'll take a look at that. If not, we'll take 2 vehicles. But I think 8 of us we can fit in.
Yeah, we got those. The vans have got the 10 passengers. So if we can grab a van,
it'd be fun to ride over together. So we'll meet here at 4:45, and it'll be a good trip. I think Chris already has us a vehicle book.
Yeah, the newest.
We should be able to fit.
Yeah, I told Robin the age, and she was going to take care of it.
Thanks.
Thank you, Superintendent. Yeah, I noticed that there were only 16 of the districts that qualified for that award. And a lot of the big districts in Salt Lake did not qualify for that, so I think the special severe did. I think that's going to be more of an emphasis as time goes on about being transparent, letting parents be very involved with their children's education. So this is a very meaningful award. Next up is items from the administration. Superintendent, would you like to start off with that, please?
Apologize for my on your items for the back to school bash.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm sorry. It's the 18th.
I didn't even catch it.
That was me.
All right. Just several information items and a couple of discussion items. Just a reminder for the back to school bash. It's the Monday after the first day, and so there's an error on there. So what is the actual date?
The 18th.
The 18th. Mm-hmm. So it's Monday, not Tuesday. I'm hoping all of you can come and help us serve the staff. We'll hit it really hard at Opening Institute. Remind them to come. And it's a little more difficult for those that are in Kesherum and Salina and Monroe and the surrounding communities to the north and south to come. But we usually get really, really good support. It's become a tradition. Families are excited to come. So just a reminder, Opening Institute will be a lot of fun. I'm super excited for it. I think there'll be it'll just be a lot of fun. And then the back to school bash, so it'll be great. I included a copy, as I have for several years, of the principal goal setting sheets. I fill out that same sheet. Super important to us because it aligns all of our work. We're constantly following up. I'm following up with the principals monthly on their goals specific to their school's strengths and weaknesses. They've done an excellent job taking these very seriously. The first few years it was tough because there were some that would just kind of fill out the sheet. And we've really worked to align their goals with their self-assessments, their growth plans, and their school improvement professional learning plans for their staff. So even their funding is attached. Their trust land funding, their TSSA funding, it's all attached to their goals. And so I like to keep the board informed with what we're targeting. It's a pretty comprehensive sheet, but the school principals and their assistants and their staffs are doing an excellent job of reaching those goals each year. There's lots of accountability in our district, and it's good. It's welcomed by the school leaders and the teachers. And we follow up. We have a system that's observer tab where they'll analyze and evaluate themselves, and then we'll analyze and evaluate them, and we communicate on using that tool. So it's documented communication of improvement. So it's just great. Just wanted to keep the board up to speed on that. Third item, I'm not going to show you anything, but we've really, really worked hard on sharing our story. Something public education doesn't do well. We haven't traditionally done well. We just go to work and we don't share all the positive, wonderful things that are going on inside school classrooms and schools outside the classroom. So we've really enhanced our website over the years, and I think it looks excellent. There's new stories always popping up. Krista does an excellent job. I'm always sending her stuff. She's always adding stuff, as well as Miguel Echeverry and Craig Curtis. They work hard on the website to keep it functioning and looking nice. All of our school registration and our employee assurances and everything are all done on our website. And it's smoother than it's ever been. It's crisp and clean and nice. It works really well. We just had another rollout today where they've really enhanced our website to track student behavior. We're excited. You know, some of the technology products that we've had to purchase can be done away with as our programmers make our own system, and it's excellent. So just wanted to mention that. We're still using School Messenger. It's a product that helps us either text, email, or even phone call every parent in the district. The only weakness there is when we have parents that don't sign up. I mean, that's the only weakness. Other than that, we have an instant way to communicate with all of our parents, which is so valuable, like via text, email, or I could even record my voice and send them a voice message to their phone.
Do the parents know they're not hooked up?
Yeah, they do. We have a high percentage, very, very high percentage, but generally when we catch those that aren't, is they'll call and say, how come I didn't get the text? I'm like, well, you probably haven't signed up. Let us help coach you. The secretary's really good. Krista sends me a monthly report. So for the next 4 months, I'll mention to principals, we're at 80% of our parents that are signed up for everything. 80%, 90%, 98%. Within 2-3 months, we'll be really close to 100%. So we monitor it, we really push.
But the secretaries give it to the principals, and the principals give it to the teachers, and the teachers send out notices to parents and ask them to get signed up. And a lot of times they'll call them and ask them to come into the school, and the secretary will set the parent down and sign them right up in the school.
We're a high percentage of participation, but there's probably still a few it's pretty easy to say, yeah, we beg you to do this, please sign up. Now we can communicate easier with you. We have your phone number, but we need your permission to load you into the system.
In emergencies, we contact everyone. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, thanks so much for bringing that up. In the case of an emergency, our system allows it. We've already loaded them, and we will contact every parent, and we have their phone number. The federal law allows us to do that in an emergency. So thank you. That's a great point. Superintendent Scoob, I sent those, the Richfield Reaper and the Salina Sun, they'll be published this week. I think news must have been slow at the Reaper, because my wife texted me laughing because there's this huge picture of me with my small little welcome back to school. She's like, you're going to love this. And I'm like, my head's the size of China. And then, she just texted me. I'm like, that's really nice. And she's like, I knew you'd love it. Yeah. And I was thinking they'd put a little stamp at the corner, but I think news was slow. The only positive there is the article above mine. The athletic director from Snow College retired. His name, I think it's Rob Anderson. Great guy, and his picture is even bigger than mine. So that's good, I guess. Binderly, we're still really pushing. I feel like better than I ever have that it is the only tool we're using to communicate with parents. That's so important and essential in today's world. with boundaries and keeping our students and relationships appropriate and safe. So our teachers and coaches and everyone, employees, that's the only form of communication they're allowed is binarly, because we can monitor it closely. We're involved in it. It keeps those communication boundaries safe. And then it's still our premier social media. It's awesome. If I were to pull it up and start scrolling through like I always do, it's amazing if you see what's going on in all of our schools. Just fantastic. The only negative, and a couple of principals have helped me see it, people don't, like, when they go to their phones and they're just killing time and scrolling, they're on Facebook and Instagram, and as they scroll, they happen to see a school thing, they'll look at it. It's not like they go to Binderly to waste time like they do to Facebook or Instagram. Does that make sense? Like, it does to me. So they go to Binderly when they have to, and then while they're there, they see cool things. But people are addicted to Instagram, so they just scroll and scroll, and they don't see the cool stuff in our schools. But what we like about Binderly is there's no commenting, there's no the evilness that goes on in social media, the negativity and controversy isn't even, it's not there. There's no likes, there's no, it's just positivity and true information. The other cool thing on our website, we've added the Q's Excellence in Education Recognition Program again. We did it 2 years ago, and I'm kind of glad we only do it every other year type pattern, because it's like one of those things that if you do it all the time, it feels a little insincere. But what this does is it allows anyone in the world to just click one link on our website, and it's a big, big link. You click it, and then you type in a message, and it sends a pick-me-up to any school employee that we have. It's awesome. We implemented it last or 2 years ago, and there were thousands and thousands in the region of these positive notes. It's just it literally what it does, once you submit it, then Q's prints it on a card, and they take those to the schools and put them in their boxes. And it's just awesome. It's a real positive, wonderful culture builder. And then each month they've in the past done a little drawing and showed up and said, hey, here's a gift basket on top of your thank you card just to show our appreciation. It's really good. So I'm excited about that again. Discussion items. Rural Schools Conference was excellent. It was held up at Park City this year, which was a first. And the reason it was held up there is now we're, and it's a good thing, but there's four regional service centers, Q's being one of them, which serves our area. You're all familiar with the seven school districts that are in the Q's region. There's a region down that's headquartered in Cedar City, another region in Price, and then another region in Heber. And that Heber Regional Service Center, it was their year to do the conference, and so now we're doing it. It rotates. It's a good thing. It does a lot for the local economies. It's good. Generally, like when it's here, we have hundreds of teachers sign up because it's so much more convenient. But the rotation is Park City, Cedar City, Richfield, Price, and it'll just be in that rotation. As far as the conference, it was excellent. We always have two of our principals present, and Ryan Harris and Coltrane Buell presented, and they just did excellent. It was all of our principals today, when we were asking, hey, everybody share a takeaway, they all mentioned those two's presentations. Those were the best presentations, were from our guys, and it was pretty cool compliment to them. One of the things I wanted to hit on was the quality of that conference. One of the keynotes that we brought in, he's the best in the country right now. His name's Jim Knight, and he's the best in the country on instructional coaching. How you improve instruction, how you improve conversations with teachers and coaches and principals. He's written several books on this. His latest book's called Coaching Conversations, and man, his keynote and his breakouts were just outstanding. It was just exactly what we needed to hear. It aligned with all of our beliefs and our vision, mission, and goals. And he kept hitting on connection over and over, and how all of the research and everything he's done in his career as far as coaching teachers comes back to the relationship and connection that teachers have with their students. So
it was awesome to hear from him. He's one of my heroes. Like, it's, you hear about some famous athletes that you've always wanted to meet. He's one of those guys. And it's just awesome that Q's brings those kind of people in. We bring those kind of people in and help foster we want to sharpen our saws and be the most effective school system we can be. My second item, I just wanted the board to be aware, we're going to continue our focus on the multiplier effect. And we're halfway through, so this year we'll finish the second half. But I mean, you can see my notes. I am loving this book. It's powerful. The quote that we focused on today in principal's meeting, I wanted to read it because it's exactly what we need to do. It says, "What this means, the multiplier effect, is that if school leaders are to preside over schools and districts that continually innovate, then they need to shape actively these processes and priorities so they can leverage and unleash, not stifle, the strength of their fellow educators." I mean, it's all about empowering the strengths of every person in your building and inviting them to do more. Finding what their strengths are and then just pushing. So it's exciting. It's really been the principals. It's been fun this year to see their goals change and align with the principles that we're studying. It's been good. My third item, just a reminder, we're going to continue to focus on the Dignity Index. It's been awesome. I mean, it's right here at the pulpit to remind those that if they sign up for patron comment. There's posters in every single classroom. Teachers are referencing it. I really believe in what it's trying to accomplish with eliminating the discontent. That, you know, we want to have debate and we want to disagree. It's what made America great. But we can do it in ways that offer dignity to everyone. So just wanted to remind the board we're going to continue that focus, and I'll remind teachers of that all year. And the last item, and this one might spur a little more, you know, questions or discussion from you, is the electronic devices and instruction time. So I think I notified you all that KUER Radio interviewed me on this topic. It was Senate Bill 178, where the legislature stepped in this year and said, the bill's an interesting bill because it basically says it's against the law to have an electronic device during instruction time. Unless the school boards feel different, then they can do whatever they want. Kind of an interesting. I remember having that discussion with Representative Fillmore, who ran the bill. I appreciate the recognition that the legislature has made in the dangers of electronic devices, the dangers of social media, the bullying, the harm that it can do, screen time, all those things. So I appreciate that. But it was kind of awkward how they, you know, passed a bill and then said, well, unless you feel different, then just do whatever you want. And it was kind of interesting. So to update you all on what I'm seeing in our schools, our electronic device policy was finalized last June, so it's been a year. It was June of 24. And it's excellent. We haven't had any need to update it. It's been updated several times just in the last 13 years that I've been superintendent. I think it's been updated 7 times in that time frame. We drafted the first version of it. It basically says that electronic devices are not allowed if they interrupt instruction. So it's already doing the law. And that's how I explained it to the radio, KUER. It's all Lake City. I just said our policy already has always said that for many years. How it's enforced is where it gets difficult. And we need to get all of our teachers in every school on board and consistently enforcing it the same way. So what that means at the elementary level, we have very little distraction. There are students that they're called GAB watches, and their parents have them wear them so they know where they are and they know they can call them if they need them. I support that 110%. As a parent, my little girl got one when she was in third grade for that very purpose. We always know where she is and we can always communicate with her. That's a safety feature. At the elementary level, it's rarely an issue. If there is a student who's trying to play on their device, usually a phone. Sometimes they have phones in fourth and fifth grade, which is hard for me to believe, but watches or phones, then it's a simple conversation with the teacher and the parent. Hey, this has become a distraction. We need to eliminate it. And that usually solves it. If it continues as a distraction, then the teacher and the principal and the parent find ways to manage it. It just hasn't been an issue. Middle schools are a different ballgame. Several of our middle schools are looking towards, they're just the pocket, they're just little pocket cubby things. It's just a pocket thing that hangs on the wall, and as the kids enter the classroom, they take their phone and put it in the slot. And then as they leave, they pick them right back up. South Surrey Middle School, for example, has been doing this for 3 or 4 years. And at first it was a little, I took a few phone calls and parents were frustrated and kids weren't liking it. But it's been very consistent. I like the autonomy that teachers have to where if a, you know, teachers could say, hey, go ahead and grab your phones for the last 5 minutes. You've worked really hard. We can use our phones for a minute. Or, hey, grab your phones. I've got a survey I'm going to use and we can use our phones on. It's teacher autonomy as long as every teacher in the building is consistent. That's my biggest fear is if they're not all together and the administration isn't holding everyone accountable to that same standard, it's pretty unfair when you've got one teacher who's engaging and on their feet, working hard, teaching, and the phones are away, and then the next teacher is, hey, you can have them with me, I don't care. We can't have that. We have to be consistent. So some of our schools, in high schools, I think are all interested in those same cubby type holders of devices. I think our middle schools, one or two of them might just say, as long as they're out of sight, out of mind, we're fine. But if a student were to pull one out, then I would take it from them, and our policy is very clear. It's like 3 strikes and you're out. First strike is just a warning. Hey, Joey, put your phone away. You know better. As long as he doesn't get it out again, you're fine. If he gets it out again, hand me your device. I'm going to give it back to you after class. We'll call your parent. Third strike, you take it. Take it to the principal. You have a meeting with everybody. It's worked. We've had this going on for years. It's worked. Where we haven't been good is consistently enforcing it, ensuring that every single classroom has bell-to-bell instruction, devices aren't being used. So I feel good about it. It'll be interesting to kind of see. But honestly, it's not a big change for us. When we brought it up in principal's meeting today, most of our schools have been already doing this. You know, it's already devices haven't been, we haven't allowed them to be distraction to learning. Any questions on that? It's kind of a big deal. You're going to continue to see some news coverage on it. I like how we're handling it. I've already heard from a couple of fellow superintendents who have made a big deal of it. They've sent letters home. No longer will we allow it. They're getting lots. It's like, why make it something that it doesn't have to be? I think we can just navigate this. The few phone calls I received 3 or 4 years ago from schools that were implementing it already, it didn't take me long to help the parent realize, hey, if there's an emergency, your students will be able to quickly go retrieve their devices and communicate with you. If you have a reason that they need their device that day, if something's going on in your family, just ask the teacher. The teacher will let them keep their device, if as long as they know. I mean, they're just common sense. I think we're in pretty good shape with it. So we'll see.
With today, it's like, even if you don't have your cell phone, your computer will still do the same thing.
Yep.
Watch will do the same thing. It's not like they're going back into the ice age by giving up their cell phone.
Right. That's
true.
You've
got two more devices.
That's so true. We do have students that we're already aware of that'll just take an old, broke, beat-up phone and put it there, and then they have their phone with them. I mean, the key is alert teachers that are engaged. You know, you're so engaging as a teacher and you're on your feet and kids are learning and excited that you don't even have to worry about it. They're just with you. And that's what we're shooting for. I think that's everything. That was one other thing that popped into my head, but I can't remember. I think that's everything. I feel good about it. I would feel bad if the legislature, you know, if we were audited or something and they said you're not adhering to SB 178. You know, I want to make sure that I don't want those devices to be a distraction to instruction. What I was going to say that Mrs. Porter said that kind of made me think about it. I disagree with the original intent of the bill. The original bill, and the governor was supportive of it, was to not allow cell phones on school property at all, ever. I disagree with that. I think we need to teach kids how to appropriately use electronic devices and become good digital citizens. If we don't do it, who will? We can continue to help them be better, because it's not going away. And I honestly think if it was banned from school altogether, we would have outrage. Parents would be furious because they don't no longer get in touch with their kids. And then the social media stuff would even be worse because they would just do it after school. It's this way we're involved and can monitor and coach and mentor. So that's all I have. But thanks for your support. Looking forward to a good year.
Superintendent, thank you very much. Mr. Willis.
Yeah, here we go again. These years are flying by faster and faster each time, so looking forward to a great year. My items, be quick here, just wanted to touch base on some of the things that we were kicking the year off with, starting with new teacher training. I shared this, and I don't know whether you were able to open it up and take a peek at it, but... just so you know, on our new teacher training, this year I think we have 14 new teachers, but 24 new assignments, which means we play the shell game a little bit. When somebody retires, we move somebody from another position to cover that, and then in the trickle-down effect, it obviously opens up a place for somebody. And so we have 14 new people to our district. A lot of them are brand new to teaching. Every once in a while you get somebody that comes from somewhere else and they've got a little bit of experience, but we're really good at growing our own, and a lot of people want to return home, come back here, and raise their family as they've grown up through this system and had a good experience and so forth. So with new teacher training, which we will be doing next week on August 12th, the one thing that I want to kind of point out is this used to be a huge two-day event. It was a marathon. It was a lot of sit and get and almost too much, and a lot for a teacher that doesn't really know what they don't know. So as they get into the classroom, they had all this information up front, but they really didn't know how to apply it. So at this point, what we do is we hit them with the basics that day, and we work through if they have any questions, those types of things. And then, as you see, these are the checklists. We have a working lunch with the principal and the instructional coach with those new teachers in each of those schools. And then we do follow-up sessions, one every month for the next few months. So we've taken that information and spread it out a little bit so that it's not so much all at once, yet they get, they get into the classroom, they learn a few things, then they have those questions and it becomes much more relevant. So I think the way we do it now has been really beneficial for new teachers to learn from that. I think we do something and we decide what works, what doesn't work, and we try to improve it, and that's kind of what we've done here with our new teacher training. So we're really excited for the new teachers in our district that will be working with our students. We've had a lot of great candidates, a lot of great people that have applied for these positions, which I know in some of the other areas, you look at the Wasatch Front, they're always talking about teacher shortages and so forth. We really don't have that problem. Our problem is picking one, because there's always great applicants to pick from, and that's a good problem to have. So we'll take that problem well over the teacher shortage any day. So it's been good, and we're looking forward to spending the day. And it's like principals meeting today I brought up with the principals. Our job with the administrators and our instructional coaches is to come in and be a support to these new teachers and make them feel welcome, make them feel supported, answer their questions, be there for them, do a great mentoring program. So so that we can not only will they stick around, but they will also, when they have questions, we can answer those questions. And that kind of lends itself to my next thing I want to talk about a little bit is the curriculum council. I've talked about them several times in the past few months, but with our curriculum council, we talk a lot about the textbook adoption, but we forget to talk a little bit about these are people within the district that have grown and done a great job in their content areas, and they're considered in our district the experts in those content areas. And so they have a role on the curriculum council. We pay them a little stipend each year to not only do the textbook adoption when it's that year, but throughout the other years is to host or hold what we call district-wide PLCs, where they call, you know, they bring everybody that's within the science departments in, and then we put our heads together. They host a PLC where they talk about best practices and those types of things. And so they've got a very important role there because they're looked at as somebody that they can, you know, a teacher that's maybe new or has some questions can call them at any time and get those questions answered. And if they don't have the answers, they'll find them and bring it back to the table. So really great people there. You'll notice, I put it in here because it wasn't quite ready yet, I have change on Alyssa Dastrup because she has served her time. She's done the adoption year and the implementation year within her 5 or 6 year stint. And she's fabulous. She's been really, really a good asset to our curriculum council. But she is now ready to not worry about it, and we'll find somebody else. And that's a great thing. If you do this for 5 or 6 years, by then somebody else has developed and can take on that role and be a leader amongst their peers. And so we haven't asked somebody. We've got somebody in mind. We'll work on that in the next day or so to replace Alyssa and keep that ball rolling. And so with that said, we just finished this last year. We did elementary math with Ashley Larson, and she was brand new to it. She jumped right in and did a great job for the textbook adoption. So this year is her implementation year. They've got the new materials that the committee chose to adopt. And next up for this year, the 25-26 year, Amy Nielsen from Pavant Elementary will be doing elementary language arts. So that's kind of where we are with our curriculum council. And we'll introduce them back at our opening institute as well. Moving down with our teacher positions, I already kind of mentioned this, but I'll just kind of show you how we track this. We keep a running total each year on each of our positions. When something opens up, kind of shows, for instance, Ashman Elementary, Terry Price retired. I got too many pop-ups there. So you can see with a slight decrease in enrollment or whatever it might be, whether we're going to replace that position or not. And then when it goes either filled or down here, you see transferred. Just depends. And then with the new hire, Robin Jukes was in our district, so she just moved to that position. So she's already been through new teacher training in a different role. Julie Albrecht, Stacia Peterson. Okay, thank you. And so forth. You can see the green ones are all the ones that will be attending new teacher training on Tuesday. So, and you kind of see, you know, the different, if like Stuart Hepworth, he's moved to the principal position. So our Brett Beagley left, Stuart's filled the principal position, certified, it just goes through and has all the information. So we just always track these things so we know who's where, and we try and make sure that we're on top of it as we go through the year. Moving down to our master's degree recipients again, hopefully you can all attend our opening institute. We'll be recognized, we'll have you come up on stage and help us congratulate those that have achieved their master's degree last year. This is one thing that gets a little tricky trying to keep track of this because we have our master's degree program that we help 6 individuals each year. We put it through the ringer and come out with 6. There's sometimes more than that, but they'll get preferential treatment the next year if they weren't selected for that. But we have 6 a year on a 3-year rotation. So you look at roughly about 18 people in those. Every year you got 18 people that are varying degrees of finishing their master's degree that we're helping with. And then if they finish up, and sometimes it takes them a year, sometimes it takes them the 3 years, depending on how hard they push, but then we recognize those. But that's not the only one. Even if they're not selected for that, they could go get a master's on their own. I mean, this is, they have, and some of them do that. The issue is, if they let Allison know that they're up for a lane change. So we're trying to juggle this, make sure that everybody that has been awarded a master's degree through their hard work, that they're being recognized at our opening institute. So that's kind of where we go with that. I wanted to give a quick, on assessment, just a quick overview of that. Kicking off the year with our... The problem is, at the state level, assessment goes through so many changes every year, and sometimes they have the data available to us at this time of the year, sometimes they don't. This year we got most of it, but not language arts, because they changed the standards in language arts. So that won't, language arts, including writing, will be available to us in October. So where we usually, our administrative team goes around to all the principals, we set up, Krista schedules this, we go and meet with them, we bring the data. They should have already looked at the data, and then they come up with a plan on, you know, addressing weaknesses within their building and things that they can improve on, but also if they are celebrating those that are doing great things. And so it's been a really good thing to go sit down with these principals and go through all the data and all the tools available to us through Data Gateway, through the state, through our own compilation. Chris and I spend quite a bit of time figuring that out and putting it together so that they have that available to them. And then we sit down with those principals and come up with a plan. We usually do that late August, so in the next week or two. But where they don't have all the data yet, we're going to wait till October and then address that when we have all the data available. And so it's a really good opportunity for us to not only kind of gauge what's going on in each of the buildings, and, you know, culture plays a role. You know, are they having those meetings? Are they talking to individual teachers? Are they celebrating when it's necessary, and so forth? And so it's been a good thing, but I think eventually the state will get things on track where we have data available when we need it right out of the gate, so that it's not, you know, end of the year when they have a lot of other things that they're addressing on a daily basis. So we're looking forward to that. We do see really good things in our data. Most of our data shows so far shows that we are above the state average in almost every category. There are some areas that we can improve. I mean, we always have room to improve, and that's one thing that we try not to penalize. We try to encourage and push them to do good things, and I think the principals that we have are the best principals that, probably the best group of principals we've ever had, and I think that's our goal, is to be a support to them, especially with assessment and accountability. Just want to remind you, our Midwinter Institute coming up in January. This is the year that we're back on to run our Professional Learning Day, where we bring all the teachers in the district to Richfield High School, and we have a breakout session. We have a keynote. Most of you will remember from our last board trip conference that we went to, Melissa Stockwell. She will be coming in, American hero and Paralympic medalist. She was awesome. She's going to do the keynote, and then we'll do the breakouts and do some training in all sorts of categories. We'll see what we need, what our district's needs are, and then put together a schedule accordingly. Talked a lot about the PLC at Work Institute last time, so I'm not going to touch too much on that, but the new dates are early June again. We went to late June this last year because of a scheduling conflict, but we're back to early June for that, and one-third of our principals and their staffs will be attending again this year in Las Vegas for that. It's really a successful thing. I know Superintendent talked a little bit about having principals talk today a little bit about a takeaway from not only the PLC conference, but IHRSA. But in the PLC conference, I will say, you have a room on the day that we do our team time, the collaboration time, and I am always so impressed with our own people. You have oh, it's something like, I think this year in that one room, it's huge, there's like 1,500 teachers in there and administrators in there, and as we do that team time, they all kind of circle up and do their thing, and as people start trickling out, I'm always impressed. Our groups are always some of the last ones to leave because they are so engaged in improving and getting ready for the upcoming year. It's just, it's so refreshing to see that when you put them all in a room with teachers from across the country, hundreds, if sometimes thousands of teachers, our teachers kind of stand out as the ones that are taking it serious and want to improve and want to bring back good stuff for our students. So it's always really, really good for me to see that. I don't know, maybe that Guido title causes that to happen a little bit because I don't give them an option, but they don't have to stay that long, and they do. So I'm always impressed with our people. They're pretty awesome. Moving on down the line there, Opening Institute, again, is on the 13th. We do have Sean Johnson, the Johnson Files, coming. I know some of you have seen him. I have not, but I'm anticipating it's going to be awesome. So excited about that. I don't know why it says 24. I didn't change the day, the year on that, apparently. But anyways, I'm really looking forward to that, and I think our teachers will be pleasantly surprised to start the year off with a laugh. That's always a good thing, too. And then the last thing I have on my items is our substitute training. We do this twice a year. We open the windows, and there is a sweet spot when you hire substitutes. If you have too many in there, then they all don't get enough jobs, and then they drop off, they go find other jobs. If you have not enough, then the principals, especially at state basketball, start whining that they don't have enough substitutes to run the classes if people are taking days off. But we've about got it down to a science, and I will say this, probably the most entertaining interviews I do throughout the year are substitute interviews. You get some interesting humans in there, but for the most part, we're really grateful for the people that we do have that show up, and that's a tough job, and they do a great job with our kids, so really appreciative of that. But our first go-around with that, Nolan Anderson and myself will be doing the substitute interviews, and then the next day or two after that, on August 28th, we'll be doing our training. We always try and train them right out of the gate and then get them jobs, get them in the classrooms where usually at the very beginning of the year, you don't have a lot of people taking days off, but they're coming. So we want to be prepared. So we're excited to do that. That's all I have. Any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Chad, do you have something for us?
Yeah. Not a lot. I'll be quick. Just give an update on our projects. Last time we met, Jill had asked about a carpet. All the carpet projects are done as of right now, as far as I know. I walked through the schools, most of them, and they're done. It looks good. I was thinking yesterday, I think the oldest flooring, except for a room here or there, like a gym or you know, kind of odd rooms, every bit of flooring in every building has been replaced since Richfield High was built. So, you know, we used to have 30, 40-year-old carpet in places, and pretty much everywhere you go in any school right now, and everything looks pretty good and brand new. These last schools we did Saline Elementary, Red Hills Middle, Ashman, and Pavant. So every room in those buildings and all the corridors have been replaced. It looks really good. The construction projects at North Sevier High and South Sevier High, they're moving along fairly well. I think I mentioned to you the game plan as far as focusing and trying to get the boys' side of the locker rooms done, so that when football started, we would at least have a place to put our home team and an opposing team if needed. At South Sevier, it looks like we're on pace to have that done. Tile, toilets are installed. I think we're at South Sevier High, we're just basically waiting on partitions and doors. So it's pretty much done there. North Sevier is about a week behind that. I do believe the tile is done. And the toilets and things like that are being installed, if not right now, very soon. I don't think it'll be ready. I think they have an early home game. I don't think it'll be ready to roll for that first home game. So, and the principal's all aware of this. They'll make some alternative plans. The girls' side, even at South Sevier, is basically done as well. So they're moving along pretty well. They're not going to be done perfectly for the first day of school. There's still things that will need to be done, but hopefully they'll be functional enough that we can start getting the football teams having locker rooms and PE classes utilizing the locker rooms. Volleyball, the plan still is to just pretty much plan on volleyball being played at the middle schools. And the real reason for that isn't necessarily the locker rooms. It's that now that we're finishing up the locker rooms, we're moving into the gym. So the bleacher demo is going to start. At South Sevier, it's going to start here in the next couple weeks with bleachers being delivered within the first couple weeks of September and installed. And then North Sevier is to follow after that. So the one issue we ran into with North Sevier that's causing me some heartburn is the upgraded stadium seating that we'll be putting on one side is not due to ship until November 2nd. So if it ships that day, I think we'll be good. We'll have the install crew, and it should be installed. First basketball game's probably right before Thanksgiving. So we should be good, but if it ships any later than that, I don't know what we're going to do. We might have to have camping chairs that are over there for
BYOC.
Yeah. I think we'll try to hold off on the demolition until we get a more firm shipping date. But those specific set of bleachers are taking just a little bit longer.
What do you do with the old bleachers?
They're owned by the Tusher Construction at this point. So
the old ones?
Huh?
The old bleachers that you're taking out of the gymnasium?
The contractor that gets the demolition bid, they're theirs to deal with.
I see. Okay.
So I don't know if they sell them off or recycle them. I don't know. That's pretty much how we've done demo for... We played the game where we try to auction stuff off, and it's a nightmare. So, other than that, those projects are honestly moving pretty well. We haven't had any major hiccups or major change orders. They've gone fairly well. The gyms, we still have to get basketball hoops installed. That's kind of a major thing. Another reason why we need the volleyball out of there, because we're going to have crews in there that have to be up in the ceiling to install these retractable basketball hoops. So that's a major key. We're working on possibly refinishing the floors at North and at South. South Sevier's floor is actually ruined from flooding last year. It needs re-sanded and refinished. But we're working right now with Kenny Stone's our purchasing guy to line up some flooring contractors to see if we can't just do both floors so that would be another reason to keep volleyball off so we can get a floor done, which I know is important to both of those schools. So
you'll make principal really happy if you can do that new floor.
Trust me, yeah.
I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah. To me, that floor over there is pretty great. But. Any questions for me? I know that was quick, but honestly, everything's moving pretty well. Okay.
Sounds great. Thank you, Chad. Thanks for that update. Any other items of business or discussion we need to talk about today? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Seconded.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. This meeting is adjourned.